Good morning, church. I am so glad that you're here today. For those of you listening online or here in person, I actually have a question for you. How many of you would say you want a stronger prayer life? Good. I think every one of us could truly say we would love a stronger prayer life. And that's why we're doing our 21 days of prayer. And so many of you have been engaging deeply in meaningful ways to what God's saying and doing through our 21 days of prayer. Each week we have weekly posts of focuses that we're using that week. We've done prayer walks. We just finished a prayer walk this last Saturday. It was incredible. And the other piece, and this is actually, the sermon's only half of how we're teaching you in regards to prayer. The other half happens on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m., and you're not going to want to miss it. Every Wednesday night, we unpack the sermon, what God said, how to apply it to our lives, and then we actually spend time praying. Imagine that. We spend time praying. That's what we're doing during the 21 days of prayer. I hope you will join us in all of this. So growing up, there were about three kinds of prayers that I would pray. One is if I had a test I hadn't studied before, that would always stress me out. Or if I got in trouble, oh, dear Lord, help us, help me. And or at meals, mealtime was a time we prayed. And those are some pretty safe prayers, pretty pathetic prayers at times. God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for this food, things like that. Or good food, good meat, good God, let's eat. You know, those are simple, safe prayers. Or, you know, here's the one. Dear 8-pound, 6-ounce baby Jesus, thank you for your bountiful harvest of Domino's, KFC, and the always delicious Taco Bell. They're safe prayers. Any prayers that we pray like that are safe prayers. We'll pray like, God, be with us or keep us safe. But God already promised that he would be with us. He said, lo, I will be with you always. We'll pray blessings over our food. Things like, Lord, please bless this foot-long chili dog and chili cheese fries to the nourisher of my body and my body to your service. Now, that's a faith-filled prayer. Believing that God's going to take a chili cheese dog and fries and make that nourishing to your body. That's a faith-filled prayer. But dangerous prayers is what we're talking about. And we're giving you three throughout this series. Last week was, Lord, make me bold. Today's prayer comes actually out of 1 Samuel chapter 3. And I'll give you some context. Samuel was a little boy, probably 11 or 12 years old. And he's helping out the priest named Eli in the temple. This was the guy he wanted to be like. It was his mentor. It was the guy he looked up to. The problem was Eli was not living right. Him and his family were both deep into sin, and he refused to correct the sins of his family. And because he wasn't honoring God, God had some issue with that. And so Samuel's in bed one night. He's sleeping, and he hears a voice, Samuel, Samuel. And he runs into Eli and says, here I am, here I am. And basically Eli says, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. Happens a second time. Samuel, Samuel. He goes into Eli. I didn't call you. Third time. Samuel, Samuel. He runs in to Eli. And Eli, apparently who wakes up enough at this point to kind of discern what's going on, he said, I think maybe God's trying to speak to you. Go back, and I want you to tell the Lord you're listening to him. So 1 Samuel 3:10, the Lord came in as he did before. Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel replied, now this, you have to hear this. It is a dangerous prayer. This little boy, 11 years old, 12 years old, he says, speak, your servant is listening. God spoke, Samuel heard his voice. Now, this is pretty cool. The problem is that what God said to Samuel is not easy to hear. It was not an easy assignment. But before I tell you what he said, let's play a little Bible trivia. So for 500 points, an extra room in your mansion in heaven, I want to ask you, in Scripture, how often did God speak? And the assignment was easy. Think about all the examples, all the times God spoke. How many times was it just easy as a no-brainer? People said, oh, I can have that good done before lunch. No problem at all. Never, never did God say something, give an idea, and it was easy. Think about Noah. Noah, I want you to build an ark. And what's an ark? Well, an ark is a boat. It's the size of a football field and a half. I need you to gather all the animals, and I need you to single-handedly repopulate the earth. And he's like, yeah, I got this. No problem. That's not what he said. He freaked out. Jonah, he was sent to Nineveh. Nineveh was the most godless, violent city in the world, full of terrorists. And he's supposed to go and tell them, repent or die. Now, that's not easy. Think about Mary. She's a teenage girl, and she's told, you, an unwed virgin, you're going to have a baby, even though you're unwed and you're a virgin. And by the way, it's going to be the Son of God. She's She's not thinking, oh, this is going to help my brand so much. Hashtag bless. Hashtag son of God. Hashtag humble to raise the son of God. I just don't think that's what she said. In fact, we know that's not what she said. So if you're going to ask God to speak to you, you need to know that what he says can convict you. It can startle you. It can stretch you, can scare you, feel impossible, feel uncomfortable. So Samuel heard the voice. And what the voice didn't say was, I want you to pour out all my blessings on all the people. He didn't say, the cute girl in your youth group, she's your future wife. You're going to have two kids, a dog. You're going to make six figures as a YouTube influencer. No. What he said to him was shocking. God said, your priest Eli has sinned. The people have sinned. They have not turned towards me. So therefore, I'm going to bring judgment on Eli and the nation. This isn't pleasant. He's only 12 years old. And God's trusting him to deliver the message, to help make things right. So the dangerous prayer we're looking at today is, speak, Lord. But don't ask God to speak if you don't want to hear what he has to say. So we're going to take a moment right now. We're going to step back. And we're going to look at prayer as an idea. What is it? What is prayer? Prayer is not just talking to God. It's actually communicating with God. So prayer also includes listening. And I wonder how often God in heaven, he's listening to us and we're just going on and on and on about all the things we need or want or have problems with. And I think sometimes he's just like, would you just stop? Would you just shut up for just a second and let me get a word in? Like, I think whatever I'll say will actually help you. In prayer, I want you to get this. Way more is accomplished by listening than by talking. I'm going to say it again. In prayer, way more is accomplished by listening than by talking. I think sometimes we're just talking. God's like, time out. Enough already. Here's the deal. God is always speaking. Are you listening? Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. That's what Samuel prayed. So you're listening to this and you say, okay, I'm in. I want to hear the voice of God. How? Great question. We're going to unpack that. So I'm going to give you three simple spiritual thoughts about prayer and how it's connected with listening. So how do I learn to hear the voice of God? Well, everything I'm about to tell you in this first point is against culture. It's against everything culture says. Here it is. Be still. Psalms 46, God tells how to experience his presence. God doesn't say, be frantic, be busy, seek God on the go, keep moving, keep striving. No, he says in verse 10, be still and know that I am God. Be still. How many of you would say in the last week or so, you spent an hour watching Netflix or Amazon Prime or Hulu or whatever, or you spend an hour on social media, or you spend time doing the things you enjoy for about an hour, a gym, video games, reading, you spend an hour. Let me ask you this. When was the last time you spent quietly waiting to hear the voice of God for an hour? When was the last time you did that? To hear God's voice, you've got to slow your pace. You've got to turn down the world's volume. He said, there's a way to pray, and it's not like the hypocrites who give these long prayers with all these big words and feel like they have to repeat a bunch of stuff over and over and over again. He says, actually, don't do that, because your heavenly Father who loves you knows what you have need of before you even ask it. So don't pray like them. In fact, I want you to pray simple prayers. I want you to go into a quiet room in your house. I want you to close the door and let your Father who's in secret know what you have need of. And this is a powerful picture. I remember growing up, one of the last places we lived was in Delaware. And it's like, you know, when you got kids and you got the dog and you got the laundry and the dishes, it's hard to even feel at peace with everything that's in your house, much less everything that's in your head. And so I found this secret. I would actually go into my walk-in closet and I would close the door because, you know, even the clothes in there dampen the sound. So it gets really quiet. And it's really dark and it drowns out all the other noises a lot better. And I was actually able to pray and to center. And maybe something like that would work for you. You don't have to go into your closet. But I do want to tell you, be intentional. Find the time of day when you're at your best. Find the time of day when you can get quiet. Maybe it's before everyone gets up. Maybe it's before everyone goes to bed. But find a space. Be intentional. And you say, Pastor, does this mean I'm going to hear like an audible voice? Am I going to hear Morgan Freeman speaking King James to me? Is he going to be like, breaketh up with him because there is a guy who has a better job and a 401k? No, I've never heard God speak like that, but I will tell you some ways that I've heard him speak. Number one, God speaks through his word. He directs, he guides, he corrects. He's the same yesterday and today. His word is living and active. It's powerful. When you read it, it seems to read you. And it seems to speak directly to the circumstances at times. So start with reading his God word. And sometimes people say, I haven't heard from God. And I say, well, how much are you in his word? Because his word speaks. The next thing is God speaks through people. And this was actually really annoying because sometimes people tell you things that are true that you don't want to hear. For example, it was a couple weeks ago, I was freaking out. You ever have those freak out moments where it's just like, oh my gosh, you just can't calm down. You can't center. Your brain is just going 90 miles an hour, your worst case scenario, everything, and you just can't get out of it. I'm telling my friend that. And what I want my friend to do is freak out with me. I want him to vent with me, all those things. But that's not what he does. He says, Hunter, you got to remember what the Bible says. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, make your requests known to God. In other words, pray. And I was like, oh, that's true. It's true. Okay, I need to do that. God speaks through people. God also speaks through circumstance. Sometimes he opens a door. Sometimes he closes a door. And I think a lot of times we look back on Facebook at some of the people we dated at one point and think, God, I really am so glad that you closed that door. I'm so glad it's closed. I remember when I was in high school, my senior year, I had completely stopped following Christ. I told people I wasn't a Christian any longer. I hated going to church. My mom would make me. And so I'd go once a week, and I absolutely hated it. I went from being a Christ follower to being a Christ denier. I was sleeping with my girlfriend. I was partying. I was ripping my friendships apart. Everything in my life was going downhill. I was betraying who I knew that I was supposed to be. And I ended up getting radically saved. I started following Christ in a very passionate way. And I knew I was called to go to ministry school and to be a preacher. I didn't have all the words for it then, but that's what I was headed towards. And I remember I'm dating this girl. I'm trying not to sleep with her. And I really loved her. I really loved her. I wanted to marry her. And I just kind of had this sense. Sometimes you just get this sense. You know a person. You kind of read the situation. I just had this sense she was cheating on me. And that was becoming hard. And then it came out that she actually was, and she broke up with me. And I just had this peace when she broke up with me that I didn't need to try and stop it. I didn't need to try and beg her or try and figure it out. I just needed to let the door close. It's one of the hardest things I'd ever done. It took me a long time to actually get over because I did love her. And it's not that she was an evil person or a bad person. I was just headed in a very different direction than her. And I know my future would have changed had I stayed with her. I would have tried to stay in contact and done a long-distance relationship, but eventually I would have come back to be with her. My world centered around her, and I would have gone to college in my local town. I would have gotten a job, had the kids and the whole nine, but I wouldn't be where I'm supposed to be. I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't have met my amazing wife, Krista. Wouldn't have had our beautiful girls. Wouldn't have had the life that I have. Wouldn't be your pastor. Wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be in ministry. It's not because she's evil or bad. Don't get me wrong. She's fine. She's a good person. The problem was that that door needed to close because sometimes God will speak through circumstances, open doors and closed doors. The fourth way is that God actually speaks through his spirit. When you start following Christ, scripture tells us that you are a new creation. And so sometimes you're going to get this sense or this prompting. You feel moved to. I feel led to. I can't explain it. I think I'm supposed to volunteer. I think I'm not supposed to take that job. I'm not sure why, but I think I'm supposed to call them. Be still. And you ask, what do you want me to pray for? Inhale, exhale. So I'm going to give you this exercise. This is really cool. So when you're being still and you're wanting to train yourself to learn how to hear the voice of God, I want you to do an inhale, exhale exercise. So here's how it goes. On the inhale, you actually ask God for a name. And on the exhale, you pray that name. And I've never had it fail that when I inhale, I get a name. And when I exhale, I have a name to pray for. So you inhale, Dan. Lord, I pray for Dan. You pray that on the exhale. I pray that you would bless him and keep him. I pray you would prosper him. Inhale, Mark. Lord, I thank you for Mark. I thank you for what you're doing in his life. I pray that he knows your calling. I pray that he walks in your calling. Inhale. Amy. Lord, I thank you for Amy and what you're doing in her life. I pray you would encourage her and strengthen her today. Inhale. Eileen. Lord, I thank you for Eileen. I thank you for what a treasure she is. I pray she would know your presence today. I pray you would use her in mighty ways to transform people for your kingdom. And here's the truth. The more you listen to God, the more you listen for God to hear him, the more you're going to recognize his voice. But it all starts with being still. So speak, Lord. I am listening. So the first step is be still. The second step, this one's key, is to be willing. Often our prayers are like these long babblings. What we want God to do. What, you know, keep me safe. Heal my headache. Save my boss. My boss who gives me my headaches, right? What if instead of coming to God with this wish list, we came to him with a blank page? I'm not just asking him to do something, to speak something, or just to answer my questions. I'm actually asking him big questions like, show me my sins. What are my motives? And then listen. How do I love my husband who is far from God? And then listen. How do I use my gifts in church? And then listen. Where do you want me to be radically generous? And then listen. I want to give you a warning. Make sure you actually obeyed the last thing God showed you to do. Because I found in my experience that sometimes people be like, I can't hear from God. I don't have a new word. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And I ask them, what was the last thing he told you to do? And they stop and they think back. And 6 months ago, God told him to do something. And then I say, did you do it? And they say, well, no. God's not going to give you a new thing until you did the old thing. Scripture tells us that how we handle the thing we're given now determines if we ever get more. So make sure you've done what the last thing was that he told you to do. Maybe he isn't showing you what he wants you to do in the future because you haven't done what he told you to do in the past. The third one is be ready. When God speaks, you actually might not want to hear what he has to say. Maybe he says, I want you to lead a life group and you're scared to death because you don't even pray out loud. Maybe he wants you to be radically generous, but you don't know how the numbers are going to work out. Maybe he's going to show you your sinfulness, or he's going to tell you to move to a different state or to go back to school or to change careers. Maybe he's going to ask you to invite your boss to church. You know, the boss that gives you the headaches that you dread, right? Maybe he's going to ask you to share about your faith on social media. Maybe he's going to ask you to break up with the person you're dating or forgive the person who betrayed you, even though they don't deserve it and what they did was really bad. He's going to ask you to forgive them. You know, 1 year ago today, I was at this moment where I was having to be still and ask God to speak and tell him I was listening. We were living in St. Louis at the time, and I just knew a change was coming. I knew God was doing something. What I was hoping was that I was going to get a different job in the city I lived in. I loved my friends. I loved my community. I didn't want to leave any of that, but where I was at in ministry was, it was wrecking me. It was really hard, and there wasn't anything wrong with the church I was in. It just wasn't where I was supposed to be anymore, and I was really wrestling with it. And a year ago today, I actually came and spoke at this church to see if this might be a place I could land. There were a few options of places I was looking. I was looking in my hometown. I was looking in Fresno, California. I was looking here. And I really didn't want to hear God's answer because I really didn't want him to tell me to move. But I prayed after we preached here, Lord, speak to me. Help me to hear from you. Help me to know what you want me to do. And he made it very clear, without a shadow of a doubt, that we were supposed to come here. And when he did, peace came in, excitement came in, vision came in. I was ready to take a new step, and I needed that because what we were about to do was so hard, so unimaginable. We're going to leave the people we'd been building a life with for almost a decade. We're going to have to leave them, say goodbye to family and to friends and all these things to move across the country to a place where we didn't know anybody, but it didn't matter because we had vision, we had excitement, and we've been doing great things here because of it, and I can't even imagine what life would have been like had I not prayed that prayer and had I not been willing and had I not been ready to obey it. You see, it's a dangerous thing to pray, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. But what's more dangerous than that is actually not praying it. So remember, every time God speaks, every time, you're going to feel unprepared, ill-equipped, unqualified. There's a good chance it's going to be intimidating, scary, impossible. It's going to take faith. So last week, I told you to pray, Lord, make me bold. This week, I want you to ask, to say, to pray this prayer with me throughout the week. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Now, you're going to pray this. God's going to tell you something, and you're going to ask for details. We always do that. But listen, you probably can't even handle the details. Be satisfied with what he says to you. Engage with it. Move forward in it. But I don't want you to pray this prayer if you don't want to hear what he has to say. What he has to say has to be the most important value in your life. Like I said before, the only thing more dangerous than praying this prayer is not praying this prayer. So as you do this, God's going to convict you. He's going to stretch you. He's going to ask you to do something that seems impossible. But if you don't pray this prayer, you're going to miss out on what God wants, what he wants to say to you, what he wants to do in you, what he wants to do through you. So I dare you, I challenge you, pray this prayer this week. So find time, be still, get before God, pray this prayer, and be willing and be ready. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for everyone who's listening to this sermon today. I pray, Lord, you would strengthen them. You would encourage them. I pray you would put courage in them to pray this dangerous prayer. I pray that they would hear from you and it would change their life. Lord, one word from you brought everything into creation into being. One word from you changes the game, changes us, changes our circumstance, changes our situation, and calls us to change the world around us. Let us hear from you this week, and may we never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen.